welcome to the Emmanuel Baptist Church Podcast. We pray that the sermon you're about to hear would be useful as you grow in your love for God and your love for His church. Now, here's today's sermon.
Well, it's been a little while since I've spoken from Philippians. I was even talking to Sarah this afternoon and just saying how, yeah, we've got Sunday evening service and, you know, so many hours and she's like, oh man, I got to think about what we're going through right now because it's been so long, it feels like. It took her a little bit of time. She got it. She just had to think back because we had our own prayer service. We also had the HBA prayer service, and I think somewhere in there Sarah and I were in Nelsonville with the church there for a week. And so it's been a while since I've preached through our series here in the book of Philippians, but I'm excited to do it tonight and look at it with you, be encouraged by it. I think that there's some challenging things within it, and ultimately we can find the gospel, and I know we all need the gospel. We all need to hear the gospel every single day of our lives, whether it be us preaching to ourselves or we're seeing it in the Word on the Lord's Day. Well, we've been going through the book, verse by verse, and we are coming up to the end of chapter 2, if you want to turn there. We're going to be there in just a second. But really, this chapter, we've come to realize, I think, and come to see, and we're going to see it here at the very end as well, is the entire chapter, Philippians chapter 2, is, I think, a chapter all about selflessness and sacrifice for other people. I know when Pastor Trent was speaking just a couple weeks ago, he was speaking through this series as well, and he had the text in chapter 2 where he says, "Do all things without grumbling," 2:14. But we even have to go further back in the chapter to, I think, see the foundational command, the root command that lays the foundation for the rest of the chapter. And that's pretty early on. It's Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. I think this is the overarching command that sets the trajectory for the rest of the chapter. It's been a few weeks since we've looked at these verses, but Philippians 2, 3 and 4, it says, "Do nothing from selfish ambitions or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." Now, remember these verses because we're going to be going back to them throughout this whole evening together, because I think these really are the root verses, the root commands, the foundation for the rest of the chapter. He says, "Do nothing from selfish ambitions. In humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Don't look at your own interests, but look at the interests of others." This is all about selflessness, all about sacrifice. And in the verses immediately following verses 3 and 4, we see the perfect example of this ever being demonstrated in the person of Jesus. He lives out verses 3 and 4 perfectly. We can see that in verses 5 through 8. It says, "Have this mind amongst yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." You have humility in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. You see, this root command at the very beginning of the chapter to be humble and count others more significant than yourself, Jesus does it perfectly. He is the model of doing that, right? By firstly stepping down from heaven, his throne room, stepping down and taking on the form of man, but then not only the birth as an act of humility, but even his death. Death even on a cross for the sake of others. You see, Jesus, I think, is the perfect example of humility, counting others more significant and looking not only at one's own interest, but looking at the interests of others. Jesus did that, and that's the gospel. That is the gospel for you. That is the gospel for me. That is the good news for anybody that would hear it. And Jesus considered our interests and in humility counted us more significant. That he would step down from heaven and die a death, even a death on the cross for us. He's the perfect model. Well, today we're going to end chapter 2, still in this thread of living out verses 3 and 4. But the end of chapter 2 is not considering the perfect model, but rather imperfect models. Two men that I think are much like you and I. And I think this really helps. We're going to look at how Timothy, this broken vessel of a man, a very imperfect man, how Timothy and Epaphroditus, a broken vessel of a man, how these two guys can show you and I what it means to live out verses 3 and 4 as imperfect people. I think this is really helpful for us because it puts the command within reach by giving us models that we can actually live up to, right? I mean, we can appreciate the selfless work of Christ on the cross and feel, as we should, immense gratitude for the perfect demonstration of selflessness in Christ. We can even want to go and do likewise, to be selfless in our own ways, but we still struggle with knowing, well, what does that look like for me, right? Because I can't step down from heaven for the sake of anybody else. I can't die on the cross for anybody's sins. So I can't necessarily go and do likewise exactly as Christ did. We're not God. We're not Jesus. And that's the same with these men. These men were not divine. These men were broken men, imperfect men, sinners that struggled with selfishness and struggled with pride and ego and self-centeredness. These men are like you and I. They can't step down from heaven. They can't walk on water. They can't raise the dead. But they did what they could with what they had in order to show selflessness in their own way. And so the command in verses 3 and 4, perfectly lived out by this amazing model of Jesus Christ, God Himself, and we can say, wow, I want to worship you for what you did there, but then also we can see some imperfect models and say, I can actually live up to that. I can actually do what Timothy did. I'd have to work hard, but I could do what Epaphroditus did. And so we have these men's example as well. So before we read it, I want us to see these two men, Timothy and Epaphroditus, really as, I think, spiritual role models. Individuals to look up to. Have you ever had a godly role model? Somebody that you just say, wow, I want to live like that, you know. I'm a long shot away right now, but I want to go to the grave more like that person, right? Or have a godly role model or mentor in your life, someone that you look up to, maybe not just in the past, but even in your own life right now. You have a Timothy, you have an Epaphroditus, someone imperfect in themselves, but still modeling what you want to be like. I know I do. I've had grandfathers that just really leave quite a legacy of godliness. Whenever I was really young, my great-grandfather, his name was Al. His wife's name was App, and so it was App and Al, and just an amazing man. He lived at the Ozarks, and so I'd always go see them throughout the summer, and I'd fish with him all the time, channel cat, and he'd teach me how to fillet him, but he would also talk about God, and he was just an amazing man, served in his church well, and so that was my great-grandfather, and then my current grandfather, my grandfather, Lloyd, and I'm just thinking and reflecting on his godliness, especially recently. He's just recently been getting put on hospice. I think tomorrow he's going to be sent home, and so reflecting on his godliness, right? Only knowing that I have so much time with him left, but that is a man of God, kind of in a sense a Timothy, you know, where you say, I want to want to love my family the way that he loved his family. And so I don't know if you have those individuals, but I encourage you to have those. Look for those. Look up to those people. No matter what age you are, you can always have people to look up to. And so my goal for tonight is that we would admire the perfect model of Jesus. And we would see that, but we would also see the imperfect models of Timothy and Epaphroditus, that they lived out selflessness and want to live like them the best we can, ultimately go and do likewise. So that's kind of the framework in which we can read these passages. I've given you plenty of time, I think. Are you there? Philippians 2. Let me read it. It's going to be the last verses of it, so all the way from 19 all the way to 30, and we're gonna run through it very quickly. This is what it says, starting in verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your well-being. For they all seek their own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me, and I trust in the Lord that surely I myself will come also. I've thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker, the fellow soldier and your messenger and the minister of my need, for he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice in seeing in him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men, for he has nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. That is the rest of Philippians chapter 2. Paul's account are talking about Timothy and Epaphroditus. How did these two men, according to Paul's words, live out the command to be selfless at the beginning of the chapter? Well, let's consider Timothy first and learn from him and strive to shoot to be like Timothy. Firstly, we can see in verses 19 and 20, the first two verses that we read, that he had a genuine concern for their well-being. He says, I hope in the Lord to send you, Timothy, for I have no one like him. No one's like Timothy in Paul's mind, who will be genuinely concerned for you, for your well-being. You know, I think about, so that word there, concerned. You can be that, but in a bad way, in a not good way. That word is anxious. In the Greek, it's the same word, actually. And so later in the book, Philippians 4, maybe you know the verse 6, Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. You see, Paul says, don't be that. But actually, in Paul's own writing, that's the exact same word that he says Timothy is for other people. And so I think we can be that word, anxious or overly concerned, genuinely concerned. We can be that in a bad way if we are obsessing and living in utter fear about the future, that we just can't control it, and we're just really anxious all the time about it, right? This is a bad thing, but it can be a good thing. We also see it in 1 Corinthians 7:32, I think, as well. I want you to be free from anxieties. And so that's the same word there. But it can be good. It can be good, and that's what I think Timothy is doing. He's living out this word, but in a good way. He has a true mindfulness of how other people are doing. He's not overwhelmed with fear and worry, constantly staying up at night, not being able to sleep because of it. It's not that. It's not an anxiety, but it's a genuine concern and a regular mindfulness about other people's well-being. And in that sense, it's a very good thing to be regularly mindful of another person's well-being. And I need to, I think, be better at just constantly working at that and striving to be mindful of how other people are doing. And I don't know about you, but I can so easily get in what's going on in Isaac's world this week, right? But not be thinking about how is so-and-so doing, right? So let's get very practical. We're a family of people here. And so thinking about Robin, you know, having just lost her brother, how's she doing? I should check in on her. Thinking about those things. Or Josh, and I don't know if you guys have heard about Josh, but Josh Smith recently broke his collarbone. Was put on the Facebook page, and he's in a lot of pain right now. A lot of pain right now. That's why I couldn't come today, this morning. And so, thinking about how is Josh doing? Is there something that I can do to help? Can I reach out to the Smiths? You know, I mean, thinking about those kinds of things, I think that's the good form of that word anxiety, this regular mindfulness of how somebody's doing. I think Ruby, and I should have mentioned that I was going to mention you here. Hope it doesn't bother you, but I love that she's very mindful of shut-ins and ladies that aren't able to come and just constantly wanting to get literature to them and magazines, and I love that. That's the Timothy mindset of people. I just want to be thinking about how they're doing, a genuine concern for them, and so I don't know what that looks like for you. For me, I'm better at it some seasons than others, but having a journal, a prayer journal. And when I hear about somebody that has a need, I write it in there. And then when it's finally taken care of, it might take 6 months, it might take a year. Once it's resolved, I cross it off. But as it's still on there, and if it's not crossed off yet, regularly reaching out to them every once in a while, every couple weeks. Hey, how's that going? And that means the world to somebody. When you reach out in 6 months, and they think everyone's already forgotten about it. Wow, you remembered. Thank you so much. I think that's a Timothy mindset of just being genuinely concerned. And that made Timothy completely different from everyone else. We can read there in verses 20 and 21 again. It says, "For I have no one like Timothy." No one's like Timothy. "Who will be genuinely concerned for your well-being, for they all seek their own interests, not of those of Jesus Christ." You see, Timothy's concerned about people, and that's different from everybody else who's concerned about their own interests. It's what's going on in my week this week. It's not Timothy. But you know, that's exactly what we're told not to do at the beginning of the chapter. You remember? Verse 4. "Let not each of you look only at his own interests, but also to the interests of others." You see, Timothy is living that out. Jesus did it perfectly, but Timothy's doing it in his imperfections to the best of his abilities, being genuinely concerned about people. And that's something you and I can shoot for and accomplish as we look at Timothy's example. But those people weren't doing it. They were just concerned about their own interests. So I think that's a question you and I should consider, huh? Would Paul lump me more in with Timothy? Or with everyone else? It's a hard question to reflect on because Timothy was one of a kind. Paul said no one was like Timothy. Only Timothy stood by himself in doing that. So statistically speaking, most of us wouldn't be lumped in with Timothy in Paul's mind. Statistically speaking, right? No one that Paul knew of was like Timothy, so I want to be like Timothy, though. I want to be like Timothy, and I hope you do, too. Ultimately, living like Christ in his own humility and love for people. Again, this is modeled in Christ. He's the most selfless. He's the most caring. He's the most concerned about how you and I are doing. That's why he came. That's why he died, because he's genuinely concerned. He loves us, and he wants salvation for us. That was the motivation for him coming. This is the reason why we can be with God now, is because Jesus Christ was most perfectly concerned for you and I. But Timothy, he was imperfect. He wasn't like Jesus. Yet still, he's a model that you and I can look to and maybe even live up to. So that's a question I would like you to just consider tonight is, how can you stand out like Timothy from everybody else by having a special concern for people this week? Really think about it. And maybe even challenge yourself to do something unique that you wouldn't normally do this week, to stand out like Timothy from everybody else by having a special concern for somebody else around you. It's amazing. And ultimately, I think we are living out Christ's character when we do that. So we have to move on from Timothy. I also want to look at Epaphroditus, because he also, I think, lives out this command that's at the beginning of Philippians chapter 2. Let me read verse 25 here. He says, I have thought it necessary to send to you also Epaphroditus. It's a cool name, first of all. Epaphroditus. I read all these Bible verses or all these names, and I think, man, I mean, Judas, cool, but Epaphroditus is really cool. Yeah. I will have more kids. I shouldn't have said that. Let me read the verse and just keep moving. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier and your messenger and minister to my need. Gotta stay on script. Do you remember the command at the beginning of the chapter? We already read verse 4 and how that's like Timothy, but do you remember verse 3? Do nothing from selfish ambitions or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. In humility count others more significant than your own self. And Epaphroditus did that in a way that I think it would take a lot for us to live up to, but I think we can. He just did it really, really well. In humility count others more significant than yourself. How did Epaphroditus do that? I think he did it really in two ways. Firstly, he wanted to go see the Philippian church because they were distressed about his sickness. You heard that right. He was concerned for them because they were upset that he was sick. In humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let me read verse 26. We'll go back to the end of the chapter. And he says, Paul writes, he, that's Epaphroditus, has been longing to see you, longing for you all, and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. So just let's wrap that in our mind, wrap that around our minds here. Epaphroditus was distressed. He was upset. He was really concerned. Why? Because they heard, and then therefore they would be worried, that he was sick. And this wasn't like he had the sniffles. In verse 27, I don't know if I have it on the screens, but verse 27, Paul says, indeed he was ill, even to the point of death. I don't think that's the phrasing there. He was ill, near to death. And so Epaphroditus was on his deathbed, but still he was concerned because he knew other people were worrying about him. It's almost annoying how selfless that is, right? Like, come on, man. Care about yourself a little bit. I mean, he was concerned because other people knew he was on his deathbed, and he knew that would make them worry. There's a lesson in there. It's a hard one, but caring for other people never stops, even when we have things going on in our own lives that are really hard. Even when you're on your deathbed, you could still care about how other people are doing. No matter what you have going on in your life, we still can care for and be concerned for other people. And in doing so, we can count them more significant than ourselves by giving the time of day and considering how they're doing. I think about Sarah whenever we were in Springfield and I was pastoring there and often did hospital visits as needed. And there was actually a call to our church. Somebody was in a coma, and wasn't looking like they would make it, and we didn't even know the people, but they wanted a pastor. So they just called the first church that I guess came up on Google, and I said, I'll go. And so we went and went to the hospital. Sarah came with me, and I believe it's been a number of years now, but I think it was the husband was in a coma and wasn't doing well at all, and the wife was really, really upset, naturally, and she just needed someone to pray with. And so Sarah and I went, and I don't know what this is necessarily. I think it's a strange thing where you can get really, like, woozy in hospitals. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but I think that's a thing. Well, we get there, we walk in, and it wasn't 2 minutes. Standing in this hospital room, the man's got tubes all over, and he's in a coma. And Sarah kind of, like, grabs onto me, and she says, I'm not feeling very good. And I thought, oh, she's just kind of sick to her stomach or something. Well, next thing we know, she's wobbling and falls over on the floor. And she just, like, blacked out. She just said the room just started closing in on me, and I didn't know what it was. And so the nurses are, like, rushing in, and the wife is now concerned about Sarah. And so the nurses are, like, sitting her up and trying to feed her and say, are you okay? Do you need something to drink? And even still, it was just amazing about my bride. I loved this. Even still, she was still saying, please stop paying attention to me. This woman needs love and care and prayer. And so she was still trying to say, I'm so sorry. I don't want to take the attention from you. I want to pray with you right now. I want to pray. And still, she's like, you know, I mean, just like dazed. And I think that's kind of like what Epaphroditus was like. Yeah, I'm not doing very good, but I'm concerned about you. And you go to chapter 2, verse 3, and it says, in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. It's amazing. Perfectly demonstrated by Christ, but still within reach, demonstrated by Epaphroditus. Caring about people, even when you have stuff going on in your own lives. It's amazing. Second way I think that he lived out that command and humility to count others more significant than yourselves is not only that he cared about them when he was sick, but he risked his life in serving the gospel with Paul. We see that in verse 30. For he nearly died, not only from that sickness, but he died almost for the work of Christ. So this man's coming close to death a few different times. He nearly died for the work of Christ. Risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. He almost died and yet still was willing to go back out there and do it again. We see that in verse 28. I am the more eager to send him to you, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again and that I may be less anxious. You see, Epaphroditus almost died going out and doing missionary work on behalf of Paul. He almost died doing it, and yet still, Paul says, are you ready to go? And Epaphroditus says, send me out, I'm ready to go. He almost died, send me out, I'm ready to go. So you just think, Philippians 2:3, in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Christ, the perfect example, coming and dying for us, but still within reach, Epaphroditus, just really caring for people and even putting his life on the line for it. So, just want to wrap up with a few thoughts here. What made these men love people so much? Specifically, love the church to do that? Well, I think the special ingredient, if you will, to doing that is seeing the people in the church as your family. Not just other people, but family. Your family. Not just another person in the pew that you have nothing to do with in your life, but your brother. Your sister. Paul has this whole story of Timothy and Epaphroditus saturated with family language. I don't know if you noticed it. It's easy to breeze through. But when he's talking about Timothy, what does he call Timothy? It's like a son to a father. Verse 22, you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. You see, there's this family mentality. And it's not just with Timothy. If you go to Epaphroditus, what is Epaphroditus to Paul? He's his brother. I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother. And that's multiple times Paul calls Timothy his son. If you go to 1 Timothy, there's multiple places throughout the book where he says, my son, my son, my son. And I think this is a game changer. This changes everything. This helps us live out Philippians 2, 3, and 4 to count others more significant than yourselves, that in humility we would not just look at our own interests, but look at the interest of the other people. How and why? Well, because they're my family. Because they're my brother, they're my sister, they're my father, they're my daughter, they're my son. They're not just random people that I happen to go to the same church with. No, they are my family. And when you see them that way, we would put those people before ourselves, wouldn't we? We would put their preferences, their desires, their concerns before our own. That's my son. And so I think if we want to live like Epaphroditus, if we want to live like Timothy, I think we have to start by seeing each other as the family of God. I think we have to see each other truly as family, not just peers. Peers don't die for each other. Family. Family. Because we are the family of God, aren't we? We're bound by the blood of Christ. He has made us brothers and sisters. We are the family of God. And when we see each other that way, we will live like Timothy and we will live like Epaphroditus. So let us look at Christ's sacrifice of selflessness. We can't be exactly like him. We can't step down from heaven. We can't die for each other's sins, but we can worship him for doing that. So let us look at Christ's sacrifice and worship him. You can't replicate it, but you can worship him for it. And let us look at Timothy and Epaphroditus' sacrifice. We can replicate that. We can live like that. And may we work to be like them, to stand out from other people by having a genuine concern for each other, not having selfish interests, but sacrificing self for each other. Let's see Christ's sacrifice and worship. Let's see their sacrifice and say, I can do that. And I want to do that because these people are my family. Amen? Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for tonight. I thank you for your word, for the challenging examples of Timothy and Epaphroditus. I thank you, God, that they lived out to the best of their abilities, Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. I pray, God, that now as we consider our own lives, may we see theirs and want to go and do likewise. As Pastor Trent often says, to not just be hearers of the word, but doers. God, help us to not only be concerned about our own interests, but the interests of others. And in humility, count them as more significant than ourselves. We know you did that most perfectly on the cross. Help us, in our own way, do that as well. We want to live like you, Christ. We want to love the way you loved. We thank you so much for your perfect example. We worship you now, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you live in or near Bethany, Missouri, we invite you to join us for our worship services held on Sunday morning and Sunday evenings, as well as our various activities on Wednesday nights. For more information on how you can get involved, visit our website at bethanyibc.com.